Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live. This show airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live, Lisa and Nancy.
Hi, everyone. It's time for Chit Chat Cafe Live. Oh, we've been excited to talk to everyone tonight. It's a great time to unwind and enjoy some of our chit chat. Well, many people have been asking, what do former NFL cheerleaders talk about? Well, we're going to talk tonight. We're excited to talk with Sydney Biddle Barrows and Jess Weiner about both of their books. It's going to be a great night. Lisa, how's your day?
Busy. This was the week from hell.
Do you remember I know. You were so busy running all over.
I was. For the last three nights, I've been out every night, just different things. You know, I was up in Hoboken. Did you ever go to Hoboken, New Jersey? It's right across the river from New York City.
It is lovely. I haven't been there for a long time, but I've taken the ferry.
What an adorable, nice, it's very trendy and hip, really cool restaurant. We just went there for dinner, but I'm going to go back. It was dark. I saw where the cake boss is, his Carlos' bakery. But it's really cool. But it's apparently only an 8-minute ferry ride from Manhattan.
Right. We should do that the next time we're there.
Yeah.
I know right where to catch the ferry down by Wall Street.
Yeah. It was really nice. And it was nice in the dark, so I can imagine it's adorable during the day.
Well, I also want to say that tonight we are dedicating this show to Steve Jobs. Mm. And where would we all be without our iPod?
The Thomas Edison of our time. Yeah?
Right. You know, our iPods, I'm using my Mac computer right now.
iPhones, everything. Really, genius. And it just makes you stop and think. All the money, no matter how smart you are, it doesn't matter if you have cancer. Can't cure you.
I know.
It's scary and very sad.
It is.
But.
Well, so we wanted to dedicate that to our
definitely.
Show tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, we probably get our first guest. No?
Yes.
Yeah. She's best known to millions as the Mayflower Madam. Her first book, Mayflower Madam, went right to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. Fortune magazine named it one of the 10 best business books of the year, and business schools across the country, including Harvard, used it in their curriculum. We'd like to welcome Sydney Biddle Barrows. Sydney, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much.
For taking the time to come on and join us.
Well, you're more than welcome, and as a matter of fact, my very first computer was a Mac LC, and it came to me from a friend of mine whose wife told him that if he kept one more old computer, she was divorcing him. So he gave it to me, but it had no instructions, no nothing, and I basically taught myself. It was such a simple computer, I just clicked on everything to see what it would do. And because, as you know, Macs are so intuitive that I just figured it out myself. It was great. And this evening, right before, I would say about an hour ago, I was walking up Broadway. I live in Manhattan. And there's an Apple store. And I passed it by, and there were so many people in front of it. There were flowers. There were lots of apples. I mean, a lot of apples. People had placed apples there. They had all kinds of TV crews, people taking pictures. In fact, when I walked by last night, that's when I realized, knew that he was dead, because I saw people starting to pile up, you know, sort of tribute kinds of things. And I said, oh, my God, Steve Jobs must have died. And I went home and I turned on the TV, and sure enough, that's what happened.
Isn't it just so sad? I wonder if he knew what an icon he was.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
He changed people's lives, literally.
Yeah.
He had to know that. I wonder if...
Of course he did.
I'm sure he probably left a lot of instructions for the company to go forward.
Yeah, but you know what? We'll never know what was inside that head of his that will now never come out.
Isn't it just amazing? It's so sad. It's just so unfair. So young.
Isn't it? It's so unfair.
It really is, but I tell my kids that all the time. Life's not fair. You got to get used to it. just why? It just leaves you with the question why.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm truly one of those people that live my life every single day as best as I can.
Yeah, because you never know.
Right.
You just never know.
I make time for fun.
That's important. A lot of people don't have balance in their lives. I'm one of those people a lot of times.
Right. You get to live in Manhattan, though. It's exciting. We were just there last week, right, Nancy?
Yes, having a grand time, and I know just where that Apple store is. I've spent lots of money in that store.
Oh, okay. Did you know we have a Century 21 now where the old, right down the street where the old Barnes & Noble used to be? I love Century 21.
Oh, I've never been in one, though. I heard they're cool.
I love it. I love to dig through everything and find just the right deal.
Oh, I've gotten some incredible things there.
Like what? Tell us.
Oh, I've gotten some fabulous handbags. I mean, just handbags you can't believe. It's great to get underwear there because they've got all the latest stuff. Okay, so it's last season, but who the heck can look at a bra and know, or panties and know that it's last season?
Right. Or something like the nice brands, like...
Oh, everything. The nicest. I mean, La Perla. All the way from Maidenform all the way up to La Perla. I mean, they've got everything. They've got all kinds of fabulous shoes, handbags. You know, they got my
horse
handbags. The problem with things like dresses is there's one here, one there. The accessories, they really have, you know, a lot of them, and they have them in different colors. The problem with the clothes is they're almost all one-offs. They don't have, if they don't have your size, then they don't have your size. It's not like they have four, if they have something, and then they have four or five sizes. You've got to be lucky, and you've got to be a hunter. You've got to like to look through rack after rack.
That's what I love.
You guys are in that kind of mood, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, if you like it, then that's a great store.
Well, that's where we're going next time, Nancy.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh no, that's Discount Row. You start off down on 57th Street at Daffy's, then you walk up to.
Daffy's. I was just there. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you walk up to 66th Street, and you've got Century 21. Then you go up to I think it's 73rd, 74th, and you've got Lohman's, and then you go up to 79th, and you've got Filene's Basement.
Which one do you think is the best?
The one where I can get exactly what I'm looking for at the best price when I'm there. That's the one.
So what are you looking for right now?
I'm looking for a coat. I got the most fabulous coat at Zara a couple of years ago, and it has just disappeared. I've been to all the dry cleaners. They don't have it. It's not in my storage closet. It's just disappeared off the face of the earth, and I'm heartbroken because I love that little coat.
Isn't it always something you love gets either ruined or you lose it?
Yeah. I mean, how do you lose a coat?
I
just don't understand it.
I wonder if you left it at a party.
Well, the thing is, if it was cold enough to wear it, you'd realize, I mean, I don't drink that much. I would have left the party and not realized I didn't have my coat on.
You weren't splashed, so you didn't remember.
Yep, exactly. I'm not a big drinker. Well, I mean, I drink, but I'm not a big drinker.
It will be fun to find a new coat.
Well, if I can find one. I've been all over. I can't find anything I love. I've seen things that are serviceable, but almost something fabulous.
Have you been to Aritzia?
Aritzia, never even heard of it.
I was just there with my daughter in New York City. I forget where she had me, though. They had some cute coats.
What's it called again?
Aritzia, Aritizia, I believe.
Huh. And you don't remember where it
was? Chicago, and I was just there in New York City last week.
And you don't remember where it was?
No, I could find out for you and email you.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be great. Yeah, I'm looking for something cute.
I think it's Aritizia, Aritzia.
Oh, I'd love it if you would send that to me. Thank you.
Yeah, I will definitely find out tomorrow for sure and email you. It's nice. They have inexpensive to expensive, everything from underwear to jeans to dressy outfits to Marc Jacobs purses and.
I mean, is it a regular store, or is it some kind of a discount or outlet?
No, it's a store. It's a regular store.
It's online. You can look at it. It's online. There's a website.
That's true.
I forget that. 524 Broadway.
Oh, it's downtown Soho. Okay.
That's where we were.
Okay.
Near Spring Street, it looks like.
Yes. It's really a cute little store.
524 Broadway and Spring.
Do you want the phone
A-R-I-T-I-Z-I-A.
The phone number is
212-265-965-2188-2188-A-R-E-T-I-Z-I-A.
There we go.
A-R-I-T-Z-I-A. Oh, A-R-I-T-E-Z-I-A.
No, no E in it.
A-R-I-T-I-Z-I-A.
Well, I tell you what, girls, I think the Chit Chat Cafe Life should get some sponsorship from them after all this chatter.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we'd like to thank Laura Geller Makeup.
Yeah, we met Laura last week. She's our sponsor, new sponsor.
We have fun meeting our guests.
It
would be wonderful to meet you sometime for coffee if we're in New York.
Well, let me know.
Yeah, we will. We'll probably be there in the next couple months. We go like every, 6 weeks or so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where do y'all live?
I live in South Jersey, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy lives in Minnesota.
I currently live outside of St. Paul.
Okay. Where in New Jersey? I grew up in New Jersey.
Right outside of Philadelphia, Washington Township, near Cherry Hill kind of area.
Ah, okay. I grew up in Monmouth County on the North Jersey shore.
Like near Long Branch?
North of Long Branch, yes.
Yeah, I know that area, because I go to the Monmouth Mall for my job sometimes.
Ah, okay.
Near Eatontown, up that way.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm, I know where it is, like at 104, 107 off the Parkway, I think it is.
Yeah, I think so. 104, 106, something like that.
So you have a rich heritage in your background, huh?
Yeah.
So tell us about your ancestors.
Well, on both sides, I'm descended from people who came over on the Mayflower. On my mother's side, Elder William Brewster, he was mm-hmm. the spiritual head of the little group. And then on my father's side, a fellow named John Howland.
Mm-hmm.
Who actually fell off of the boat, and they had to fish him out. So, mm-hmm. which fortunately was successful, or I might not be here.
Hmm, interesting. Now, tell us how you became the Mayflower Madam, if you don't mind.
Well, I was in the retail business. I'd started out at Abraham and Strauss,
I remember that.
Yeah, which is a big store, chain of stores. Anyway. I progressed on to May Company Corporate, and then I worked for a small resident buying office, and to make a very long story short, I got fired because I refused to participate in a kickback scheme. You know, I'm maybe a little crazy, but I'm certainly not dishonest. And there I was on the unemployment line, and you can tell that it was a long time ago because you actually had to go and stand on a line once a week at a certain time and pick up your check, unlike today where you can be anywhere, you know.
Right.
You had to actually go and stand on line. So there was another girl who had to report at the same time I did, and she and I, you know, got to be friendly, and we started hanging out together because you can only look for a job, you know, so many hours in the day. And one time it was my turn to go down to her apartment in Greenwich Village, and I walked in the door, and there she was unpacking a brand-new stereo. And I knew she didn't have any money. I mean, were we making $75 or something, you know, mm-hmm. for, you know, a week? So, of course, I wanted to know where she got it, and for some reason, she didn't want to tell me. So, being New York, one of my first questions was, you know, well, did it fall off the back of a truck? I mean, you know, can I get one, too? And eventually, she got very serious, and she said, Sydney, do you swear you won't tell anyone? I said, I swear. And she said, I answer the phones for an escort service. And I said, oh, what's an escort service? I didn't have a clue. I really didn't. I had no idea. And so she started telling me what it was, and I was horrified but fascinated. And I did what I think every single person listening would have done. I asked a lot of questions, and because I was the only person who really knew that she was doing this, I heard a lot about it over the next couple of months. And then one day, my phone rang, and it was her, and she said, "Hey, Sydney, one of the girls in the office is leaving. Would you be interested in a job?" Did I say it paid $50 a night off the books, which back then, you know, was a lot of money?
Right, sure.
So, you know, I was afraid of the police. I was afraid of the mafia. You know, I didn't think I really wanted to get involved in something like this. But I really could use the $50 a night. So I thought, you know, it can't hurt to just go over there for an interview. So I went over there, and I was able to meet some of the girls who were every bit as nice as my girlfriend had told me, and nobody was holding a gun to anybody's head.
Right.
And I thought, you know, how could it hurt? I mean, I'm just answering a phone, and I need the money. So I thought, okay, I'll do it. And it was apparent from the very first night that I was there that while this may have been the old world's oldest profession, the guy that was running it was not running it very professionally. And my girlfriend and I were constantly Monday morning quarterbacking, you know, why doesn't he do it this way? If it were me, I'd do it that way. And anyway, after one particularly unattractive incident, we looked at each other and we said, you know, we're at least as smart as he is. We're definitely nicer than he is. Why don't we start our own escort service? And so we did. I mean, it was really that easy.
And how long did you actually have the escort service?
5.5 years. She left after the first couple of years, and so I had it on my own.
How did you recruit girls? Did you see, like, pretty girls in a bar and you go up to them kind of?
Never, thing, never. We put ads in the Help Wanted section of the Village Voice, the Soho Weekly News, Showtime, Backstage, that kind of thing.
So what did you get, mostly women that just maybe college girls that needed to make an income, just like normal people that you would never suspect?
Yeah, mostly college girls, but also because we advertised in Backstage and Show Business, we got a lot of aspiring models, actresses, dancers, singers. We had artists, we had musicians, a lot of students, though. We definitely had a lot of students. That was probably the majority.
Did you have to make them sign, like, a privacy thing so they wouldn't go rat on you?
Why would it? What's in it for them? Then everyone would know what they were doing.
Right, that's true. You're right. That's true.
I mean, after it was all over, everyone wanted me to, you know, to get the girls to come and tell their story. I said, why would they do that? What's in it for them?
Right, you're right.
You know? So,
would some of the dates, would some of the men request certain girls?
What do you mean, certain types of girls or certain girls by
name? Or, like, if they'd already been on a date with one of them, would they request them again?
Very rarely. The reason people use escort services is because of the variety. If they
want
to see the same person over and over again, they get a girlfriend.
That's true.
Now, were you, like, real fussy what the girls look like? If they gain weight, would you tell them, or did you tell them how you wanted them to dress?
Oh, of course. Of course, we had to. I mean, this, you know, we were a brand. I mean, you know, we had a certain image, and it was very important, just like with any business that's got an image. It was really important that the young ladies, you know, uphold these standards and the image of the business.
Right.
So, yeah, I was very fussy about what they wore. They, you know, they never could wear pants. I always had to wear a skirt. You know, it had to, you know, they had to look a certain way, you know, no heavy makeup. I was very fussy.
Like at night, would you think to yourself, oh, my God, this is, like, the best gig. I hope it lasts forever kind of thing?
I never thought about it like that, but it was the best job I ever had. I do have to say that.
The most exciting.
Yeah, and it was very rewarding. I mean, the women who worked for me were, the way I used to think about it is they were on one side of the gulch, and their hopes and dreams and what they considered their future were on the other side. And there was a bridge, but you needed to pay a toll to get across it. And so they came to work for me to make money to pay the toll, so that they could get to the other side of the bridge and have the life that that they wanted.
Now, did you have clients from all over the world?
Oh, of course, yeah. This is New York City, after all.
Right, right. How did you advertise in the same papers for the clients, or they just it was word of mouth?
No. That wouldn't have worked. No, you have to advertise somewhere where something that affluent men read. So with the International Herald Tribune, the back of New York Magazine, we were actually the first escort service in the Yellow Pages. It was a lot of fun. You know, we made clients happy. We made the girls happy. I mean, we really were in the happiness business.
Exactly. And your book, The Mayflower Madam, you know, of course, New York Times bestseller, and even. Was it part of the curriculum at Harvard?
In their small business and entrepreneurship courses. In fact, I met somebody relatively recently who teaches at Oh, what's the name of that school? It's in Lower Manhattan.
All right. Pace?
Yeah, actually, that's Pace. Pace. And he still uses it. He still uses it in his small business course.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
I was
exciting.
So impressed when I heard. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sure well, there's one book on the reading list that everybody read.
Right, right, and a good fun one. Well, I'm really impressed also with what you're doing now and what you're writing now. You write a monthly column for the Entrepreneur Magazine online site. That must be very interesting.
Well, as a matter of fact, they just finished revamping it, and they threw all of us out. They've got a new model. I'm not quite sure what it is, but all I know is that none of us former columnists are part of it. But they did tell me they'll ask me to guest, you know, for certain times. But no, they gave me they actually created a whole new category called the customer experience for me, because there's nobody, you know, there's nobody who writes about that except for at the sort of IBM Xerox level. There are a number of very high-powered and extremely expensive, you know, consulting companies who do work with corporations on the customer experience, but there's absolutely nobody doing it for small businesses like I do, you know, for professional practices, you know, doctors, lawyers, accountants, financial advisors, you know, people who have small businesses of all different kinds. In fact, I've got a fellow, I just got a new client yesterday. He is down in Alabama, and he's got what's called a compounding pharmacy. In other words, instead of, he makes up all of the prescriptions by
exactly.
hand. Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't know what that is. And he does.
Right.
And anyway, he's hired me to come on board and help him market that and improve the customer experience and all that kind of thing. And I love working with small businesses. You know, I love... I love working with the people who almost all of my clients actually started the business belongs to them. They started it, and it's so rewarding. I just love it.
Well, I applaud your enthusiasm, and I especially was drawn by your website when you quoted and said, "Does the name of your business convey exactly what you do?" And you know who
or whom you do
are.
It. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's important. I mean,
right.
People
so
need
then
to look
it got
at your
me
name.
Thinking, because I think ours does chit chat.
Absolutely,
oh, right.
It does.
We should have Sydney work with us.
Yes. Yes.
You don't need me. You've already figured it out.
And I also like that you mentioned that seeing and hearing your name is the first experience that they have.
Well, if you're doing it right, yes. If you're doing it right.
Well, it's very exciting. Your websites are very interesting, and I would think you get a lot of attention from your websites. Is that how you find some of these small businesses to work with?
Yeah, that, and actually more of them come from the book.
Really?
People read
That's
the book,
great.
And they say to themselves, wow, you know, I really like what this girl has to say. You know, I agree with what she says, and... You know, I espouse the same thing she espouses, and I think I'd like to work with her. That's really where I get most of them.
Do you do speaking? Do you speak public speaking?
I do. As a matter of fact, I've got something on the 15th with the North American Society of Periodontists. For some reason, dentists love me. I would say the majority. if I had to make a column of all like the different kinds, I would say the majority of them are in the dental field. I don't know why.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't even know what a periodontist was. I thought they did root canals. You can tell I have healthy teeth. And I'm so glad that I had this nice long chat with the fellow who hired me, because what an idiot I would have looked like if I'd gotten up there and started talking about root canals when, you know, they do implants and, you know, and gum disease. It was a very different business.
Right, right.
That's big business right now. That's big business.
Yeah, well, that's because so many people just don't take care of their teeth. You know, you really have to. And, of course, there's a lot more options. You know, the implants didn't used to be an option. You lost your tooth, and you just had a big hole in your mouth.
God forbid.
And now there's a lot of people that, instead of going through with veneers, if their teeth are that bad, they might go ahead with the implants.
Well, that's really only if there's no root. I mean, there's no reason that you would pull out a perfectly good tooth and put in an implant if you could put a cap or a veneer on it.
Well, I also liked what you said on your website. I think that's where I saw it, that you live currently on the Upper West Side with no plants, no pets, no children, no regrets.
Yep, no pets, no plants, no children, no regrets. Yeah. Well, I was so proud of myself when I came up with that one.
well, we're proud of you, too, and you have been delightful. We would enjoy meeting you sometime, maybe shopping at clothing, you know, Century 21 or coffee, and we'd love to have you join us again.
Well, let me know when you're going to be in town.
Yeah, we'll get in touch with you next time. Probably in November, I would say.
So I hope you like Aritzia.
Yes, I'm looking forward to going down there. I absolutely, if you say that they have great coats and at all price points, that's color. As they always say, color me there.
They don't have a lot of them. I think you're going to be drawn also to their clothing.
Uh-huh.
But, well, please join us again on Chit Chat Cafe Live.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. It was my pleasure.
Thank you for taking the time.
Okay.
We'll get in touch next time we're in New York.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
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 Bye. I like her. She's cool.
Oh, my gosh. So much fun. Wasn't it great fun talking?
Yeah, she's a girly girl.
Yeah, shopping plus her business. It's very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Well, please stay tuned. We are going to take a commercial, and then we're going to be joined by this century's ambassador, listen to me, to self-esteem, Jess Weiner. First of all, we would like to thank our sponsor, St. Croix Orthopedics.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live.
We have been waiting a week or more for this tonight. Tonight, we are joined by this generation's go-to girl for self-esteem. Whether she's hosting a seminar for mothers or daughters, I love that, on today's Pressures to be Beautiful, writing her monthly column for 17 magazine, which we still read, or speaking out at programs like Oprah, CNN, or tonight on Chit Chat Cafe Live. We are so honored to have Jess Weiner. How are you, Jess?
Hi, I'm great. I'm happy to be here.
You are very busy.
I am very busy and very blessed. I have a job and a career that I love.
You know, we saw you on the Today Show, and your books are fabulously fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, we just are very proud of you for the message that you're sending to all women of all ages.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It comes from a lot of passion and a lot of heart and a lot of amazing women that I've met along the way who inspire me and share with me their stories. And I think it's such a great way to share and give back.
Now, how did you get to be Dove's Global Ambassador for Self-Esteem?
Yeah, it's a great title, right? It feels like it should come with a wave and a wand.
And a tiara.
And a tiara, of course. You know, I've been working as a author and confidence expert for the last 17 years. And so I have a lot of equity in this space. I work a lot out in the field with women and girls and all different corporations and businesses and schools. And, you know, I get around. And so a couple years ago, I was approached by somebody from the global team who, you know, offered me an opportunity to become the global ambassador, which sounds fantastic, and it is. It means that I get to help advise and create and speak out on behalf of Dove Movement for Self-Esteem. And we've, you know, reached over 8 million girls in the last 5 years, and I've traveled to many countries to talk about confidence and self-esteem and helping girls realize their full potential, which is obviously a huge passion of mine and a core component of what Dove cares about as well.
Well, it's just wonderful. And so when you go to speak, do you have a lot of the mothers or the young girls you ask questions and want to know exactly, you know, how to move about in this world with all the magazine ads?
Yeah, you know, I work with a wide variety of audiences. So sometimes I work with just, you know, girls and teenagers and young women, and sometimes I work with moms and mentors and educators. But what I find is common with both audiences is that, sure, everybody is trying to figure out how to be healthier and happier, and they want better relationships. And we do live in a very, very fast-paced world right now. And the images that come our way and the messages that come our way can be very confusing for women of all ages, not just daughters, but, you know, moms are girls in grown-up bodies. That's all, you know.
Right.
And I think I just try to have an honest conversation about where we're at, what we can do to live a more enriched life. And I'm not really big on rules or lists or top 10, this or that. I think that life is fluid. And if we can get women and girls to have conversations that are deep and meaningful and introspective, that's what really builds self-confidence and self-esteem.
And fun. For example,
and fun.
I'm really drawn to your talktojess.com.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
it. I love how you have the list of things to take time for each day. Tickles, giggles, time with friends. Oh, and I know that you like lemon hard candies, and so do I.
You do? I don't meet many people who like lemon hard candy,
I love it. Yeah, I love lemon everything. But what I mean is that list, it just makes you smile. And
yeah.
That is just the talktojess.com. Do you have a lot of people commenting or talking?
Yeah, well, you know, our website's been down for a couple months because we're giving it a nice, glorious facelift. You know, I live in Hollywood, so I got a plastic surgery hit up. But we're getting a makeover. So in the meantime, we have not had as much interaction on our site as we would normally have. But when we do, yeah, our community is very, very active. And we actually have an online community called the Actionist Network. And Actionist is a phrase that we kind of coined about almost 10 years ago that really means somebody who wants to take action in their everyday life. And so whether it's just about being engaged fully in life, and like the list that you're referring to are just quick reminders of things that are awesome that we can pay attention to and feel good about, and not everything has to be so deep and so dramatic all the time. I think having a really fun, light balance is important.
It is important. And sometimes just being lighthearted and telling, you know, I also read that, you know, through your storytelling, you can
yes.
get people to open up. Tell us about
yeah.
that.
I love storytelling. Well, you know, I work with one foot in the Hollywood and one foot in the heartland, and I'm really committed to helping media and media companies tell better stories about women and girls, more diverse and equitable and smart stories, because I think media and the storytelling that we can share in media is so powerful. I mean, just think about it, especially with social media now, you know, you can share a story with a click of a button to millions and millions of people. So I think with storytelling comes great connection and community, but it also comes great responsibility. We have to be cognizant of what kind of stories we're telling. And for those who sit in powerful positions like networks and movie studios, I really like to hold those folks accountable and say, listen, you've got the world's largest platform. We're the biggest exporter of media in the world. Let's make sure we're exporting good media, solid media, inspiring media. Let's use it for good and not evil. I mean, everybody likes a salacious reality show now and then, but, you know, I'm really looking for media that can bring us together and remind us that we're not alone.
And how impressive. We're so proud of you, Jess, to be named one of the 14 power women to follow on Twitter by Forbes.com.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, huh?
That is very impressive when you think about everyone tweeting. And
yeah,
you're one of 14 power women.
Yeah, I don't, you know, yeah, it's, I feel super humbled and I am laughing just because it's so surreal. You know, I think the message in that for me is I'm being who I am, and I'm happy that people are finding some connection to that. You know, I think that it's really important that we feel super authentic in our communication, and I love Twitter. I love the ability. I don't know about you guys, but I literally find myself during the day thinking about how to condense my life into 140 characters to talk to people.
Like, I love Twitter.
Yeah.
I love them too. And it's so fun. I just, you know, I just have been it was fun to tweet with you a little bit too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we've got great people who help us out too, because it's a lot to keep up with. I don't, you know, with all the busy traveling and stuff, you know, we try to make sure that we're communicating and connecting because it moves so fast.
Well, your Facebook page is also delightful. I really think that a lot of people turn to you for the daily smile, the words of encouragement. I had to share something and put it on my Facebook. You wrote,
yes,
today or the other day, live without pretending, love without defending, listen without defending, is that right? And speak without offending.
Yeah, I love quotes. I mean, I love quotes in whether, you know, they're little bits of wisdom that have come from friends or from world leaders. I just think that everybody could use the reminder of a great quote.
That's,
you know,
how we
kind
feel
of it perks you back up.
So, and the things that you talk about and write about, I was really drawn because I'm like this myself. You mentioned that it's not about the things we own, but experiences we share. Share a favorite experience with us.
Well, I have so many. You know, I think that at the heart of it all, I'm a big relationship person, and it matters to me the quality of relationship that I'm in and the kinds of things I do with people. So honestly, some of my favorite moments can be just cuddling with my family on the couch and, you know, having just a real moment of quiet where you're not going and you're just being. You know, I love doing that. And then, you know, as far as my life, when I'm out in the world and if I want some sort of adventure, some of my favorite things are horseback riding and whitewater rafting. I love nature. I love, I'm a moderate adventure person, so I like a little adventure. I'm not a super daredevil. I'm working my way up. But I love challenging myself, and I love challenging my body and being out in the world and having those experiences. I mean, to me, it's all about the people you're with when you're having those experiences, too.
Well, I think
that's your article in Glamour magazine about weight.
I'm sorry?
Your article in Glamour magazine.
Yes.
You wrote an article about weight.
Yes. Well, I didn't really write about weight. I wrote about my health, and I wrote about the fact that, you know, as I am experiencing in my later 30s now, some health concerns, that I took a new direction in my view on wellness. And for me, wellness included understanding things like my blood pressure, my cholesterol, my fasting blood sugar levels, numbers that I didn't know women needed to know, really. I mean, it makes sense now, but I guess at the time I just wasn't thinking about numbers. I was a little afraid that numbers would define me, like many women feel their weight number defines them. So I was really avoiding that. And what I wrote about was that I looked at weight along with those numbers and really kind of defined for myself a goal to become healthier for me. And I think what was, you know, a big eye-opener for me was that those numbers, what you weigh, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, your blood sugar, those numbers don't define you, even if they're in the unhealthy range. They're just barometers of your health in that moment. And it was really liberating for me to take the last 2 years, actually, at this point, and slowly work on my health in a way that was moderate and conscious and loving and whole. It was a whole picture of health. And in that, I talked about, you know, weight was a component to it. It wasn't the only piece of it.
What, now, when you write in 17, you write in 17 magazine, don't you write a monthly article?
I did. I do. I've created the Body Piece column with 17 magazine, and that's been around for almost 5 years, which is amazing in magazine life. That's a long time. And it's taken all different shapes and forms, but I write a lot of advice questions for girls on 17.com, answering their body image dilemma questions and their self-esteem, you know, crisis moments. And I love it. It's a way to connect with millions of teenagers around the country at a really crucial point in their life where they're questioning their identity and their beauty and their, you know, and their vision of themselves. And I love being able to be kind of on first defense with them and help them put things into perspective. And, you know, and that magazine has been so seminal for people in their life. It's, people can remember the first time they read 17 magazine.
Do you enjoy working with young people like that, with young girls?
I love it. I'm sorry?
More so than adults, or?
No, not necessarily. I think everybody, I get different value and vibe from different groups. I mean, I love working with young girls because they are on the, you know, life is still so new in a lot of ways, and they're on the precipice of such greatness, and I like being able to influence them at that time in their life. But I love working with adult women because I am one, and I am inspired by women of all ages who've lived through some amazing things in life and who teach just by being here. So I love everybody I work with. I'm an equal opportunity presenter. I love all audiences.
Now, how did you think of the title for your book, Life Doesn't Begin 5 Pounds From There?
Because I probably have said that to people I love 1,000,000,000 times in my life. You know, I mean,
true, but I always say 10 pounds from now.
All right, I know. I was being modest. But, you know, I mean, I said that because I feel like every woman I know, no matter if she's super fit or, you know, super young, whatever, it doesn't matter what she looks like. Everybody always has this mysterious, like, life that's going to happen when they lose a little bit of weight or, you know, when they get their this job or a new husband or boyfriend. I mean, we always fantasize about that, which is, you know, normal to a degree, but I was writing the book to really say to women, listen, don't wait for that moment to come. Live your life fully now. Create the life you think you're going to go for down the road and start doing it now. And, you know, certainly, you know, weight, money, relationships, all those things are important for women, but they should never, ever hold you back from living a full and free life.
Now, you're working on a third book. Tell us about that.
I am. I'm just starting to work on a new confidence book for moms and daughters because I feel like, as I mentioned earlier, moms are just girls in grown-up bodies. So I feel like a lot of the issues that I see girls struggling with are exactly the same as their mother's issues. It just maybe is packaged a little differently. So I'm trying to create a more thoughtful conversation between mothers and daughters that gets us closer to creating core confidence. Because I don't know a mother in the world that obviously doesn't wish for her daughter to be more confident, but I think that mothers also wish for confidence in their own lives. So I'm going to try to write a book for both of these audiences that hopefully brings them together and gives them some new tools for looking at their lives a little differently.
Do you deal with bullying at all? I'm talking about like girl on girl, like young, you know, how girls are so catty. Like Mean Girls, like that movie Mean Girls. Do you do that a lot?
I mean, I work with that in regards to girl relationships. You know, I was bullied myself. I wrote about that in my first book, A Very Hungry Girl. I was bullied as a, I mean, my last name is Wiener. You know, I'm a girl with the last name of Wiener. It's like you can't escape getting bullied. But I also grew up in a time where the internet wasn't invented yet, nor were cell phones. And so I was sort of exempt from the abuse at home. You know, all the bullying happened in school, but I was safe at home. But now that's not the case for girls. Now they are, you know, assaulted essentially with cyberbullying, all could be all day long in any room of their home. So I talk about it from the perspective of arming moms and dads and parents with kind of an understanding of today's digital world for girls and how to have girls respect themselves and behave with dignity and really teach girls valuable lessons of problem solving face-to-face, not letting it be on a text message or, you know, on a video blog, but really kind of getting back to basics. I think no matter how great technology is, nothing is better than eye-to-eye contact and a heartfelt apology or communication.
Why do you think women do not get along? Women backstab each other. You know, they. I heard a quote, you talk about quotes. The fastest way to find out girlfriend's fault is to compliment her or something. Compliment her boyfriend. It was a cool quote. I can't remember exactly what it was. It was like, the quickest way to find your girlfriend's fault is to compliment her to another girl or something. I don't know.
I'm not familiar with that quote, but I am familiar with all of the kind of cattiness that women, you know, women have, can have towards each other. But I think, you know, that's a really big question with lots of layers for the answer. But I think at the core of it, when women look at each other as enemies instead of allies, we just miss the whole point. I think that there's enough love to go around. There's enough abundance. And, you know, there doesn't have to be like the one, you know, crowned winner of all girl womankind. And I think that sometimes our media, as an example, tells really horrible stories about women needing to compete with each other for love or for money or for prizes. And, you know, I think that we can get lost in that in our everyday lives. And I think a lot of it comes from insecurity, misunderstanding, some ignorance around differences with women. But at the core, everybody wants to be loved. They want to be influential. They want to make a difference in the world. And I think that, you know, if you can find within yourself as a woman your own space of confidence, you don't need to tear down somebody else. Even if your life isn't going well in the moment, it's nobody else's fault. You know, it's to really be accountable and responsible is important for women. And I think that, you know, everybody gets to play their role. The media, us, our daughters, you know, our coworkers, we all have to really take accountability and stop tearing each other down.
So what is your relationship like with your mother?
I have a great relationship with my mom, and in that greatness is a lot of history of learning about each other and having the same ups and downs that every teenager and their parent have or young adult and their parent have. But I come from really amazing women stock in my family. My grandmother, my mother's mother, was a wonderful pioneer in her life. Same with my father's mother. And they really did things that women didn't do at their time in the world. And my mother, you know, chose to stay home and raise her children and not go to work. And that was a really important decision for her. And I respect her greatly for that because I had a mother available to me after school when a lot of my friends didn't. And I really understand the value of that. Not everybody can do that, but I was happy she did do that. So, you know, my mom is my biggest champion. She is so crazy excited for the success in my life, but she's more crazy excited for who I am as a person and who I am growing into as a person. And that brings me so much joy to bring her so much joy to know that we've lived through some tough moments in our life. But, you know, we look at each other now as women and in a way, and friends in a way that I think is pretty dreamy. I feel very, very blessed.
Well, that's wonderful. And you have a bunch of girlfriends that surround you. And
yeah, I have great girlfriends and guy friends. I've had friends in my life for, you know, over 30 years, and that's special. I can, you know, count on what I call my esteem team to pull me out of some dark places in life. And there's nothing better than friendships. That goes back to what we were talking about with relationships. It's just, it's the key to wellness and happiness is sharing your life with others. And I do. I feel very blessed to have great friends.
Have you ever had anyone say to you, you can't be real, you can't be this happy all the time?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm happy all the time. So I don't think that's the persona that I have out there. I think I'm, I've never really had anybody say you can't be happy. I've had people say, you know, do you ever not feel confident? And my answer is, of course. And I cannot feel confident and be a confidence expert. That doesn't take away from the tools that I know or the education or the skills that I have, but it just makes me human. You know, and the reason I wrote that piece in Glamour magazine was because for, you know, 18 years I've been talking about this professionally, about my life and my health and my wellness, and something new is happening for me that, you know, I wanted to share that didn't come in a perfect package. So, you know, I'm always really candid with my audience and fans that I'm human first and foremost. And the gifts that I have or the ideas that I have, that's a part of me. But there's other parts of me, too. There's the part of me that, you know, doesn't want to get off the couch some days or gets my feelings hurt or feels frustrated and out of place in life. I mean, I have all of those same feelings. You know, I tend to try to focus my energy in taking action and moving through those areas and not always wallowing in them.
Exactly. And I love your videos. I'm encouraging all of our Chit Chat Cafe Live listeners to click on your videos because you are very real. You run your fingers through your hair. You take your glasses off. You put them on, whatever you want to make us want to listen to you.
Oh, that's very
fun.
Sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really fun. My little dog even was listening.
That's awesome. I like dogs.
I think you're doing a great job helping not only our young teens who truly need it in this day and age, but all women. And we just really applaud you, Jess.
Well, thank you. And thank you for doing what you do and creating a platform to talk about these things. I mean, I'm excited that you have your space in the media with your voices being heard. I think that's just equally as powerful. So I appreciate being able to talk with you.
Well, we are hoping in the new year to have a show for an hour with a few female guests devoted to women telling all. So, different questions and such.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, are we sending questions and we would like experts to answer them?
For example,
the one that we asked tonight, we get that a lot through emails. Why can't women get along? Why is there always someone talking about another, or why can't we just be happy?
Yeah.
So,
well, those are great questions, and listen, I think that the answers to those, as we've talked about for the last little bit here, is that it takes everybody looking within and doing their part, and if we could all be more accountable and responsible, we might have less of those questions, perhaps, from folks out there.
Exactly, but it would be delightful to have you a part of that show.
Oh, well, I'll come back whenever you want me to.
Oh, thank you so much, Jess.
You're welcome.
Well, have a good night. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome, right. You guys. Take good care.
Thanks for sharing your book.
Okay, all right, bye-bye.
Bye.
How cute is she?
Oh, my gosh, so much fun, and I love her videos. I just sat there and pushed next. She just looks right at the camera, and
she's real cute.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah. We'll have to have her on again for sure.
Can't wait.
So,
Lisa is introducing something new.
The Leopard Lounge.
We've been talking about this.
It's just stuff that anybody can relate to. Nancy, what's in your handbag? What do you carry in your handbag or purse? What do you call it, a handbag or a purse?
I call it a handbag.
Yes, so do I. A lot of people call it a purse, but handbag.
Right.
What do you carry in your handbag that people would be surprised that you carry around?
Tuna fish.
What?
Yeah.
Tuna fish.
I always have a little pouch, because now they come in pouches. You saw mine, Lisa, remember?
Right.
It comes in a pouch, and I just keep one in there in case I get starving. I don't have to buy something at a store or try to find a snack. I keep almonds and my tuna fish right in my purse.
You carry that little purse around.
I know. That little purse holds a lot. So this way I'm never hungry.
There you go.
Yeah. How about you? What's in your purse, Lisa, that somebody would be surprised about?
I always carry a pair of flat shoes with me.
I love that about you.
I carry dental floss. And what else?
And you always have a lot of pretty lipstick.
Oh, I always take like 10 lipstick with me because I like to have options. You never know what color you're going to feel like at. Or
yeah,
a pink mood or a peach mood or a bright red mood.
See, that's one thing that's fun about you. One of the many things, Lisa, my friend. I love it that you have options in your purse. I've already made my decision before I leave. There are no options. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
You can carry the nice one. I carry a huge handbag. It weighs a ton.
Too funny.
I should carry a snack with me, though. But I just forget. I'm always rushing.
So what do you do if you get hungry?
Stop and get something.
Oh,
so. So, that's it.
That's okay. Well, the Leopard Lounge is closed for the evening. Come back next week, everyone. Great fun. We've got more fun things in the Leopard Lounge. We would like to thank our sponsor tonight, St. Croix Orthopedics, and our fabulously fun guest, Jeff Wiener. Corey, our producer, remember you can catch Corey King show every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. on Artist First.
And we'd like to thank our guest, Sydney Biddle Barrows, and our sponsor, Laura Geller Makeup. I'm reminding everyone to join our archive. Just scroll down, find a show you like, and click on the date, and then you can listen.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. And as Steve Jobs once said, your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Now go do something wonderful.
Good night.
Good night.